Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting, it can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Road to Stardom Radio.
Welcome everyone to 6 and Rolling World to Start the Radio Success Radio. We have a great show today. Appreciate you joining us today. We got a lot to talk about. You know, Diddy is in the news. Diddy is in the news. T. Diddy is in the news. Brother Love, since he changed his name again, Brother Love is in the news. And, you know, his house raided yesterday. His house in Miami. His house is in Miami. And in L.A. were raided because they got a Homeland Security got a tip about him sex trafficking. You know, a lot of people put lawsuits out on Diddy, aka the Love, and in there they talked about sex trafficking, and that made the Homeland Security raid both homes in Miami and in L.A. That's right. And in L.A., no, when the federal government comes to your home, they're going to handcuff you because they want to make sure you don't try to, you know, because people, they're going to get raided. And so what they do, they try to destroy evidence for or whatever is going on. Before they get bust in, they try to destroy evidence. So they handcuffed them so they wouldn't try to destroy any evidence. And if you remember a while back, there was a producer that put out the lawsuit on Diddy and said he did it for some months. That while he was working on the Love album, the producer Diddy pay him, so he put a GoFundMe to get the money that Diddy was supposed to pay him. So this guy is producer, but we didn't have the GoFundMe until after he made his lawsuit. And in his lawsuit, he said that he and his son Justin beat up some dude in the bathroom. They shot him. They shot him allegedly, and they somehow got rid of the pocket in L.A. So that's why they didn't get in trouble for it. He said while he was there with Diddy, that Diddy made him go get some sex workers told him to put on the bad boy hat. And that would alert the sex workers that he was coming to get them. So by him wearing a hat, the sex workers know that he was coming. And then the dude, excuse me, the dude who put out this lawsuit, he also had a video saying that Diddy sent him a video of Stevie J having sex with a man. Type of dude that kind of resembles Stevie J, sex with a white dude, but it wasn't Stevie J. Because it was a star, and he came out, that was him in the video, it's not Stevie J. He also said that he's been at the parties. So, a lot of lawsuits have been coming out, and it's a rap. If they find any stuff, find anything, no charges, trafficking, human trafficking, period. Because we also were lost by a young lady who said she was raped by Diddy and the CEO of that boy. Yeah, that's what she, and the other one who said that her friend was sexually assaulted by Diddy and Aaron Paul. So there's a lot of lawsuits. But the dude who put the lawsuit out amended his lawsuit. So now, instead of it being a 70-page lawsuit, it is now a 90-page lawsuit. 20 more pages added, more people's names added, people's names I've never heard of was added to the lawsuit. And so, we don't know. We don't know if they've been arrested, but, you know, they flagged the plane, and it was in the Caribbean. When they looked at Diddy's flight, they, in a short amount of time, they saw that Diddy was in a whole lot of different places in a short amount of time, and they're trying to say that Diddy, that in Antigua to fuel up his plane. They land, the plane is back. There's TMZ got footage. If you probably seen it, there's TMZ probably about it. They got footage of Diddy at the airport, just pacing back and forth. And it's like, I think, you know, everybody knew what happens, you know, with Diddy. But the one thing people are upset about is the fact that his son was there when the house got raided. And, like, Diddy, he was, he didn't take his son with him. But you have to, they're grown. Diddy's kids, is, except for his girls, his twin girls, Diddy's kids is grown. His son, Christian, and a grown. And you understand saying they live in Diddy's home in L.A. And I'm sure they probably stay at the home in Miami. They stay at the home in Miami. They're grown. So it's like these are little kids. These are grown daughters. They're still teenagers. Three daughters, only two, the twins and the third daughter, I think, still live with the mother. His newest daughter is with the mother. You know, to for the helicopter above to catch and bringing his sons out in handcuffs, you know, the way, you know, when you don't know how raids work, you see them two boys in handcuffs, and it's like, pisses you off. Like, you real pissed off. Misa was already mad at me when Justin caught a DUI. I think when he was in L.A., caught a DUI. But she was mad at that. Because, you know, because in the beginning, Justin wasn't staying with me. But after, he got to let Justin stay with me. And, you know, just being around Diddy, Justin has changed. I get it. As a parent, and you see rules as out here in your child's rules. I think, but I think Diddy's more the lenient parent is. And you know, more details keep, yesterday all they were talking about was Diddy news. I'm sure every news channel you probably do, they were talking about the situation, and they and you know, a lot of people's names was mentioned that, you know, that amended lawsuit by that producer, and they say the staff talking, the chief of staff talking. You understand what I'm saying? The chief of staff talking to the feds. It sucks when you got a good job working for Diddy, but because you work for Diddy and you see things you shouldn't see, you don't want to be seen to see them, you got to keep quiet. Damn, Diddy's bumping salary because he want me to tell him he's bumping my salary, but I'm making more than the average person doing my job does, when you think about it. Yep, I love, you know, the blog talking about it. But, you know, the thing about the blog, when stuff like this come out, is they spin it on narratives. You're not getting true facts. A lot of these blogs spin it for their own narratives. To bait you into reading what's on the blog, not knowing if it's true or not. You know, the headline is going to read something salacious. It's going to catch your eye. You're going to click on it and read it. And what you read, like watching Mims make it make sense. And when news comes out about situation, he does a job. He makes sure he gives you the facts of what's going on in the Diddy situation or any situation. He makes sure he gives the facts. He don't just go on what's out there while people are saying. He makes sure he gives you the facts. And I can't call it an episode, but I watched his, he talked about Diddy, and he breaks down the, it's long, I would play it for y'all, but it's long, it's like an hour long, but basically,
yo, what up, our drop from the 80s and six eyes,
well, what's up, y'all, how y'all doing, what's going on, America? Sticks and Rolls.
So,
what's up?
So basically, he got the new court documents from the producer who was suing Diddy, amended one, and mentioned all these people's names, and all these people who was named, they're gonna have to testify against Diddy, and you cannot purchase.
Why are they messing with my friend? Why are they messing with Sean John Combs? I mean, what's going on?
Because he just gave
people their royalties back. I mean, what more do they want? He gave people their royalties back. Why are they picking on him? What's going on?
Dude, you know how many lawyers he got besides Cassie? Cassie's lawsuit was a lawsuit that brought all other lawsuits. Because, you know, people were scared to say anything about because their fear of retaliation. Like, they say something, they have fear Diddy wants somebody to come to them. And Cassie won her lawsuit. If Cassie could do it and she won, I'm going to do it. I'm a follower of Cassie. And this producer said, when Diddy was starting to make the Love album, he was with him, one of the producers on the album. And wherever Diddy went to the album, he was there with him. He was there for like some months with Diddy. The time that he was with Diddy, Diddy never paid him for the work he done. And that's what made him... he saw some things at Diddy House that made him put out the lawsuit, but also he put out a GoFundMe because he was trying to recoup the money that he was supposed to pay for his work on working on the Love album. And in the first lawsuit, when his original lawsuit, he mentioned Meek Mills, Chris Brown, Cuba Gooding Jr., he mentioned Usher,
What is Cuba Gooding Jr. ain't never worked with Usher? I mean, with P. Diddy?
You got to understand. Dude, let me. You got to understand that, let's say I tell you I'm going to the Bahamas, taking my. Bahamas is right across the water from Miami. So it don't take you, it ain't going to take you but a hop, skip, and a jump to get to the Bahamas. Now, let's say, I say, hey, you know, to be girlfriends, come with me to the Bahamas. And you say, okay, it's a free trip. You ain't got to come out your pocket. Only thing you got to do is get yourself to Miami, and we take the boat. If I take us to the Bahamas, chilling in the Bahamas, you're not the only thing you coming out of your pocket flight to get to Miami.
You know what? Well, let me get Puffy on the phone. Let me call. All right, we'll call him after this.
If Cuba Gooding Jr. lives in Miami, then he ain't really. All you gotta do is come over to Diddy's house, and they can take a boat or yacht, whichever Diddy, and they go over there to the Bahamas. He's no money's coming out of his pocket. You understand what I'm saying? When you got celebrity friends and you say and you talk to them on a constant basis, you say, I'm going to Antigua on the weekend, you wanna come? No money has to come out your pocket. You're gonna say, yeah, you're gonna go. No money's coming out your pocket. He's paying. Why not? Why not go on a trip? Or what if you already there? What if you be there? Because you know they have
let me go to.
Oh, you already there. You run into Diddy.
Let me get Puffy on the phone.
Hold on.
Let me get Puffy on the phone. And we'll clear all this shit up. Hold on.
So
whatever you do, do not give this number out. Hold on.
So, yes, everybody. So that's what's the news is Diddy. I haven't watched or looked it up to see if Diddy's been arrested or anything, but that is the situation going on right now.
Hello, you are live on air, 6th and Road. How you doing, Ernest T?
I'm doing okay.
All right, first off, happy birthday to you. A couple days ago, happy birthday. So
we're talking about
my friend here, and what are y'all doing to Puffy? What's going on?
Yeah, basically, the feds went into his house, and supposedly he's supposed to be accused of sex trafficking, I think money laundering, and all kind of different stuff. That's what they. That's
Puffy. I know. What do you think, Rose?
So now they're saying that Diddy may be trying to liquidate his assets into offshore accounts. You know, you have offshore accounts. If people are trying to buy your assets, if they in offshore accounts, they cannot get to them. Because whatever country you have the money in, their banks give the information if said celebrity has money in their bank in the offshore. Just watch the movie and say, oh, such and such money in the Cayman Islands. You know, pretend they're broke, but then they say, oh, such and such money in the Cayman Islands. So in the Cayman Islands doesn't have to abide by the U.S. law that they have to turn over records if the person has an account. And they also saying that Diddy was trying to go to a place where he can't be extradited, meaning if he goes to, like, Bali, if they're looking for him and he's in Bali, they can't extradite him. Because they don't, the country is not going to, but there's other countries that don't abide either. So he can go anywhere to where they don't believe in extradition and sit there. And but if he does have money in an offshore account, he could survive off the money in an offshore account. Like, they can seize his home, like they create his homes and, you know, try to, because first thing, you know, videotape of him, you know. So the guy who I was just talking about, what the law supported, he said while he was with Diddy, that the workers that worked in the house had product bags that were filled with drugs, cocaine, GHB. They said he and those carried that around with the drugs in it. He said, like, he said executives would be there. So, like, if you need some coke, you just, they give it to you. Give it to you. So all this stuff is coming out. And people have said, yes, they, other celebs said they've been to Diddy's parties, but no one said there was Diddy's parties with drugs. But this is what the person said. So they 70 paid lawsuit now is, because he amended the lawsuit, is now a 90 page lawsuit.
So Diddy got
video evidence of some stuff he didn't want to put in the lawsuit, that when it comes time for him to testify, that he would hand it over. Other than that, so yeah. We gotta. So I'm gonna take from talking about right now, because we need to send prayers out to Baltimore. At 1 a.m. in the morning, a cargo ship hit the bridge in Baltimore. The bridge collapsed. There was cars on the bridge. So far, 20 people have died.
Oh my God.
So I'm gonna pull it up so we can
a ship ain't that high, it's gonna take out a bridge. A ship ain't that high.
No,
it was a
cargo.
It's a cargo, and it had a lot of cars. I don't know what it was transporting, but it's 1 a.m. in the morning. Most of the people have lights on them so they can see where they're going. And the ship, but to hit the bridge. And it collapsed. Bridge. There's video of it. That's why I'm trying to pull it. I'm trying to pull up an article. It's the Francis Scott Key Bridge, Baltimore. That's the bridge that got knocked down. So in the movies, where you see the docks with the cargo bins on them. You see those in the movie. Well, picture a ship with those coming through.
Yeah.
And depending on how much cargo the cargo might have been too high on the bridge. And that's why he hit the bridge. I'm going to read the article so we can know exactly
All right, Ernest is trying to speak. Go ahead, Ernest.
Okay, most of the time on cargo ships, you got like food, clothing coming from different countries, like different stuff that's got to be transported by semi-tractor trailer truck. So most of the stuff in a cargo ship was probably coming from a different country, coming into America. And Boston is one of the major ports. When you order stuff from out of the country, that's where they come in on cargo ships, like cell phones, TVs, any kind of electronics, food, and stuff like that is on them cargo ships. And what the captain said, somehow he lost control of the cargo ship, and that's how it ran into the bridge. And two, the bridge that he hit is too low for the cargo he had on that ship. He probably had at least 10 stories high on that cargo ship.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow.
Yeah, and it's packed in front and back, so.
A large cargo boat.
It's still Elijah's house.
Yeah.
So
that's what happened.
Let me read
you.
Yeah.
I'm going to get back over there in about 10 minutes. Nephew's over here, so I'll get back on the air in about another, maybe like 20 minutes.
Okay, just call in. All right, 424 number. All right, bro.
All right.
So,
let me see everybody.
As the Francis Baltimore Maryland collapsed today to the Patapsco River after it was struck by a large cargo ship. The bridge's collapse has promoted huge emergency response with the City Fire Department describing the collapse as a mass casualty incident. Searching for seven people in the river, Maryland Governor Wes Moore has declared a state of emergency. The Baltimore Mayor Brendan Scott said on X that he was aware of the incident and was en route to the bridge. Emergency personnel on scene and efforts are underway, he said. The 1.6-mile four-lane bridge named for the author of the Star Spangled Banner was the second longest truss bridge span in the United States and third in the world. And they show you pictures. So it was a large cargo ship. And just think, we don't know how many cargo containers he had, you know what I'm saying, or if he had any light to see, because you know at 1 a.m. it's pitch black outside. Without any light, you're going to be able to see where you're going. You know he's on water, you're not going to be able to see him. And they were saying they were cars, so they were in the water looking for seven people. But it said 20 people died. Articles, a brief article, it doesn't give it. I'm going to find updated information. Son is 20 people. Okay. Okay, Yahoo say it's 6 dead after the bridge collapsed. I will go put the article out. Other articles that were one that was I guess update from 20 minutes ago says so what I think is if they rebuild the bridge officials said it was likely it would be found alive. At a press conference on Tuesday, an official said assumption has happened due to the extensive but unsuccessful search efforts and the temperature of the water. It tells you when the collapse occurred. Says the collapse occurred after a ship collided around with the bridge around 1 p.m. on Tuesday in Baltimore, Maryland. Two people were rescued from the water, with one in critical condition and the other rejecting medical attention. Officials say 8 men were originally unaccounted for. Based on the length of time that we've gone in this search, the extensive search that have gone into it, the water temperature at this point, we do not believe we are going to find these individuals alive, the official said on Tuesday evening. The Coast Guard are not going away. None of our parts are going away, but just transition and fade. Also called Dolly, into a pillar of the bridge. 5 minutes after setting sail on his 27-day journey to... Oh! So it was leaving Baltimore. It wasn't coming into Baltimore. It was leaving Baltimore. Because it was going all the way to Sri Lanka. The cargo ship was going all the way to Sri Lanka. It's unclear what caused the accident at the time. So whatever we have over here is being delivered to Sri Lanka. And they said that's a 27-day journey. I know those captains of the cargo ship, for their job, they get to go to different countries because not only do we import export to other countries, or these cargo places. And you say, what, 27 days? Sri Lanka, and I get to view the world as I'm going to Sri Lanka? You understand what I'm saying? So... So it was a total of 8. I saw something, and I can't remember where I saw it, but it said it was 20 people dead. Like, the caption was, like, 20 people dead. And I'm like, but this was 20 minutes ago, and it's saying, it's not 20, it's 6. So there were 6 individuals there. So 2 people that were saved. One is in critical condition. The other received medical treatment. But they didn't say if one of those 2 men are the captain who was carrying the boat, the ship, rather. Didn't say that. You know, they didn't say it. So we send our prayers out to Baltimore as so you as this, we don't know who is, but family members get the call and say that family members with a critical condition because the car hit the bridge. And then we don't know who the other people are, so you know their families probably call police stations. And then you're watching breaking news, and it's saying that a cargo ship hit the bridge. And you say to yourself, well, such and such gets off of work as a family member. Your mind start racing. You don't know if they survived or if there were cars. I'm not sure if there was cars on the bridge, but if there was and they was in their car, if that, you know, if that car fills up with water, they're drowning in their car.
My Lord.
And if they wasn't able to get out, if they don't know how to swim, they're drowning in the water because they don't know how to swim. So it's either scenario, it doesn't look good. You've seen how in the movies, how the cars get pushed in, you know, people get into accidents and the car goes over into the water. And they try to save the people. People try to get out, and then the water winds up seeping in the car. Once the water starts filling up the car, this is deep water. This is not like you in a pool, where 5 feet is the deep end. But it's not a pool. This is real deep water, and if you don't know how to swim, saying you know what's in there. Got a hole. You know how to swim. They tell you. They tell you to hold your breath for a certain amount of minutes. You know, these people don't know how to swim. Now, if you know how to swim, you go. Can look to see where there's some sort of kind of land so you can swim that, you know how to swim. But if you don't know how to swim, and plus it's cold, you know the temperatures are cold.
Yeah.
Even though temperatures are still cold.
And yeah, those waters are cold.
Depending on what you got on, clothes-wise, once you be heavy. You see what I'm saying? If you go into that water with a coat on, that coat get wet. Depending on the material, you're going to get heavy. Are you going to be in freezing water? Cold water already coat. But once, if you take it off, you're going to be even more cold. It's going to be too cold for you to swim. That's why they start searching and rescue, because of the temperature of the water. Even though the bridge, I wonder if they didn't know how to swim, even though the bridge collapsed, if it was any part of the bridge or not, they could have held on, or did the whole thing just go underwater. You know how they do in movies, like something comes apart, there's still a piece not in the water, but it all fell under the water. Yeah. Let's just pray for Baltimore. Let's just pray for Baltimore. No one knows why this person crashed into the bridge. And I wonder if the bridge can be rebuilt. If not, then, because that's one of their main, I think that's one of their main bridges into Baltimore. And then you have to think, what if it's, what that bridge is, any route for people to get work? I guess they're going to have to do like how they do when trucks are on the highway. They say, they tell you what height the truck has to be in order to be able to go under the bridge. And if you're not that height, you have to get off and then take local. And then once you pass the part that the truck can go back on the highway, because I've seen, you know, it's been in the news, the trucks crash, they couldn't fit, and they crash and get stuck under the thing on the bridge. I'm just going to have to pray. Baltimore. We at Roll to Start a Radio and Radio send our prayers out to Baltimore, Maryland, to the people of Baltimore, Maryland. We wouldn't wish this on any state, any city. We wouldn't wish this on any. You know, because you know, once everything is dying down, you know new information is going out. And I hope one of them is not the person who was steering the ship. I keep calling the boat steering the ship. I hope they wasn't on drugs, or I hope they wasn't drinking. Because, you know, that's 27 days you ship going away to Sri Lanka. I just hope they weren't on any type of drugs, drinking, that would impair them. If the ship was leaving to go pick cargo to Sri Lanka, or were they taking cargo to Sri Lanka? Because now you have to call Sri Lanka and say, well, the ship that was coming to your country crashed into the bridge. So what was going to be delivered to you can't be delivered to you. It's water. Or if they were getting stuck in Sri Lanka to bring back the United States, then they're going to tell Sri Lanka and they got another ship. The ship is going, was going. I don't know. That's crazy. So, Six, what's going on here?
Oh, shoot, man. Just chilling. Another day. What's going on out there with you?
So, here's some, I don't know this person, but on TikTok, there is a DJ that's out of Germany. They said is a predator. that he gets paid for parties, but he's, even though he's a DJ, he get hired for kids' parties. Made the video about this DJ, said he was a president. And I've never heard of this DJ because every state has their own musical sound. You know, like New York has, you know, has now has music, and so Jersey has their own type of music that they have, and he's a DJ that plays that type of music, and he gets hired for parties, but they're saying he's a pedophile. And I'm gonna say allegedly because I don't know it to be true. I don't know it to be true. And when you speak on people, if you don't know it to be true, you gotta say allegedly because it gets out there and you don't say allegedly. And, you know, take it to be true and then turn out not to be true, the person can sue you for defamation. You don't never want to get sued. But, and the DJ's name is Little Man. Never heard of him. And then they had, then he has a team that works with him. They also call, they call the Little Man team. Like, never heard of them. They from Jersey. And they're saying he's a pedophile. And he's a pedophile. Never heard of this person. Now, I'm going to ask this question. Your mom is gone. Your sister is gone. I want to ask you this question. This video on social media, and it was a mother and daughter, like they, like two people in the street, like they didn't know each other, like they have two people in the street beef with each other, fighting each other, really going at it. So this is my question to you. I know your mom and sister's gone, but you just walked in the house and saw your mother and sister fighting like two people in the street. What would you do? You heard me, dude?
Yeah.
So I'm saying, I said my scenario to you, I said, I know your mom and sister's gone. But
yes.
My question, my scenario to you is, what would you do if you went into the house and you saw your mother and sister fighting like two people in the street?
Well, first off, I would break it up. Because why would mother and daughter fight? Your mother.
That's the thing. I don't know. But in this video, I don't know who's videotaping and put it up on social media, but you see two women fighting each other. Like I said, like it's two, like, just if you get into a fight with somebody, you and that person fighting, y'all going at it real, real crazy. That's how this mother and daughter was. All the captions said that it was mother and daughter fighting each other.
Wow.
I asked you that scenario to see what you would do. In my case, my mom is going to be still alive. I know, even if my mother and sister had some type of disagreement, it would never get that far to where to they're throwing blows at each other, having a full-on fist fight inside the house where everybody can watch and nobody's stopping it. They recording it. See, in this page, everything is being recorded. No matter what you do, everything is being recorded. Back in our day, we didn't have cameras to put out to record if something went down. So if somebody got into a fight, you had to hear from that was there for the fight. It was no social media for you to go to see the video. No, you had to be told about the fight from the people who was at the fight. And I'm like, I don't know what the mother, what the mother did for it to come that far. You only get one mother. And for you to put hands on your mother, and you fight her like you're fighting some chick in the street you might have beef with, you fighting your mother like that, and no one stopping the fight is being recorded and uploaded to social media, because that's how people are seeing it. You know, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is crazy. This is why we got to check in with our mental health.
So here's another situation I got for you. Group of friends go to Mexico. Right? You listen to me, right? A group of friends go to Mexico. Doesn't matter what part they go, they just went to Mexico. One of the friends, only for the whole time to be out there in Mexico, had $135 to his name for the whole time he was going to be on this trip going to Mexico. Now, normally, you know, when your friends, you know, y'all get together, y'all say, oh, we're going to go on the trip to Mexico, and we're going to stay at such a place, this is what it's going to us to stay there. So you ain't got the money, right? You don't go. If you know you ain't got the money to go, you don't go. Because you got to pay for your airfare to get to go. And then you got to pay for the hotel. And a lot of these hotels are all inclusive, that your food and stuff is included in your hotel stay. Right? And these friends of hers said $135, right? They get back from the trip, go on social media, record a video telling the story about the friend only having $135 on his trip. So they're on social media talking about their friend only having $135 for this trip. And so I come across a video where the guy was talking about this situation, and he said, so he's like in our age bracket. And he said, back in my day, you know, if a friend, my friend went on a trip with us and my friend had money.
Oh, yeah?
And it was like, if my friend had no money, we'll cover for them what they don't have. But we wouldn't go to social media and talk about them not being broke and not having this trip.
Now you got some people that are ignorant and do that. You know.
Yeah, we would come on our friends, but we wouldn't put it up on social media for everybody else. What they were doing was putting this up on social media for clicks and views. But understand, when you put a situation that you're going through for clicks and views, everybody's giving their opinion. Right? Everybody's going to give on their opinion on the situation. And people are talking bad about this girl. He had $100,000 on his trip. All through the comments, you hear people talking bad about this girl that don't even know this girl, but talking bad about this girl because she only had $135 for this trip. Get it? If you pay for your flight and the hotel, but they didn't have no spending money, get it. It happens. You pay for your trip in advance, and then it comes time for your trip, you don't have any spending money. And what if your friend wasn't broke? What if she wasn't broke? $135 is all she set as her limit to spend on this trip. Because you know when you go somewhere, you spend more money than you should be spending. So that was her budget. So, whatever we do, $135 is going to be my limit. So, if it's too expensive, I have to do it. That's my thought. But you that's her being broke. She couldn't, there's no way in the world she could be broke and then be able to go to Mexico. There's no way in the world I'm broke, but I could still pay for a flight and hotel to go to Mexico. That don't make sense. To me, that doesn't make sense. But I don't think the girl, but then someone said that they found out that the story was fake. It was a fake story that the person put out there, but like I said, we're doing it for click views. People don't understand when you do that and you mention people's names that people are going to give their opinions about that person. People are going to look up to see if this person has a social media page and start harassing them on their social media page. And this person is broke and they say they find that friend that you said was broke. Now this person is being harassed about being broke from people they don't even know because you, for clicks and views, want to tell a story going on vacation having money. It don't make no sense. Crazy. That make no sense. It's crazy. So, what else? Nickelodeon documentary, and it is called. Dang, I can't remember the name right now. Nickelodeon documentary. I'm going to pull it up to tell you what the title is. I watched some of it. So, did you watch the show in class? You remember Head of the Class?
Uh-uh.
You don't remember the show Head of the Class?
Oh, you're talking about with with Richard Pryor's daughter, Rain Pryor?
Right, and Richard Pryor's daughter and Robert Gibbons was a part of the cast. So remember the big dude was in the class?
Not right offhand.
He was the tree dude that was, well...
The what?
He was a chubby dude that was in the class. I'm going to tell you what the name of it is because we were watching it. It's called Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. And we're talking about the shows that were on Nickelodeon. So the dude who was in the show, his name Dan Schneider, he was one of the cast members and head of the class. He became and execs at Nickelodeon. He was the one, I think, that helped together all that. Remember the show that? If you remember all that, he was behind the scenes working on that. And when, and I think, at, you know, when Keenan and Kel had it, and they stopped for a while. And they were other kids. He, when Keenan and Kel left, they were still doing all that with some other kids. If you have HBO Max, that's where you can watch it. It's called Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. And like I said, we were watching the first episode that they was talking about. Dan Snyder, Brian, I think the other guy's name is Brian Peck. Right? Some of the crazy stuff, one of the guys who was a PA working for Dan Schneider when they were doing all that, he got arrested. He got arrested for child being a pedophile. So he would be with the young girls on the cast, and I guess they would exchange email. And he was sending one of the cast members, he was sending her email. And, you know, and the mother saw that he sent her email. He said, and she looked at him, oh. And he sent email because, you know, he asked me how you doing this and that and that. One day, found it strange that the daughter just went in her room and started crying. She's like, why is my daughter crying? When she opened up the daughter's laptop, this fool, his first name is Jason, I can't remember his last name. This fool sends this, I think the daughter was either around 9 or 10 years old. He sends her a video of him masturbating. And when they arrested and raided his and went through his home, they found that he had videotapes of child pornography. He had videotapes of child pornography. And then, and here we thought something was wrong with Amanda Bynes. Because Amanda featured in this as well. And we thought, Amanda Bynes is going crazy for her in a mental institution. The guy I'm talking about, Dan Schneider, right? He was close to cast member all that, and he told her, uh-huh, you know what? We're gonna give you your own show. And uh-huh, you know, he was getting close to the young girl.
Okay.
And Amanda Bynes showed up. That young girl who he her own show, he wound up giving it to Amanda Bynes. Because she was getting close with him.
Uh-huh.
And Amanda Bynes, in her own words, she puts out on social media to let people know that Dan Schneider, that he's a pedo. She said, 13 years old. Had an abortion.
My God.
It was the pappy. Yep. Her parents were stealing money. I think she was under conservatorship like Britney because her parents were taking her money.
It's just, you know, I don't understand why when these people, your parents are your parents. You know, they can't just jump into the role of being a financial advisor. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't. That's the same thing that happened to Gary Coleman. They wasn't up there acting on that screen. Gary Coleman was. You know, this lady worked for her money, and she should have it, and her parents shouldn't be trying to take it.
So this. So if you heard the show, there was a show on Nickelodeon called Drake and Josh. Right? Well, Dan Schneider has something to do. Dan Schneider has something to do with that being coming to light. Right?
Okay.
He got, so there was a producer, I think Brian Peck, producer on that show, and when the guy Drake, who's one of the lead roles in the show, father was his manager, and his father noticed that there was something strange about Brian Peck, and he tried his hardest keep his son away from Brian Peck. Brian Peck didn't like it. So he got his father kicked out of the set. So the father, oh, you don't want me as manager no more. So the mother wound up becoming the manager. And the father told the mother, keep Drake away from Brian Peck. And what she do, she did not obey orders, not listen to what the husband said, and let Brian Peck get close to Drake. Because Drake even had his own story about being Tito, and come to find out, because of Brian Peck, that's how Campito. But father told him to keep him away. But somehow Brian with the mother to let Drake get him and Drake close. And now we got fired on the set. It was saying, bust this. Dan Schneider was not only the producer of all that, he was the writer, and he had them out of the scenes that showed was sexual in nature, and because so like the scene where like I don't know if it was squirted in their face or thrown in their face, and the way it would look like in secretion on the, they would, like, male eye, it looks like male secretion on a child's face. But these were supposed to be jokes. These scenes were supposed to be jokes. A lot of these scenes that they showed was more sexual in nature, but these are kids. But it's supposed to be funny. So remember the show Fear Factor? The show Fear Factor, where they have you do these, you had to do the challenges, made you eat with stuff.
Let's go.
So once episodes or all that, they were like acting, making it seem like it's supposed to be like active, but these were kids. It was a lot of crazy stuff. If you want to watch it on HBO Acts is called Quiet on Set. The Dark Side of TV. It starts off talking about Nickelodeon. There's more episodes, but I don't know if it's all about Nickelodeon, but there's more episodes. My niece wanted to watch it. And when they got the crazy stuff, I didn't want to watch it anymore. So, yeah. Watch it for your own conclusion about these people. Because a lot of people's lives are kind of saying the crazy things that go on in Hollywood. I saw a TikTok video where the person said, we need to prioritize the Corey Haim, because he was all this time, Corey Feldman. He apologized to Corey Feldman. All this time, he was telling people what was going on in Hollywood, but nobody could believe him. And this is the reason we caught up in drugs and all that stuff. And you never see him do anything like Hollywood movies or TV shows ever again. To see what happened to him as a kid in Hollywood. So, you know what time it is, Six? It's trivia time. You ready? Six, ready? Ladies and gentlemen, it's trivia time. Now, you know
Let's
we
go.
Do this
Let's
all
go.
The time. You know we do
Let's
this
go.
All the time. And
let's go. Bring it.
Let me get the. Okay, here's the first one. Let's see. Could you do this week? In Samuel Coleridge's poem, "Time of Ancient Mariner," what bird was hung around the mariner's neck? Was it a crow, seagull, pelican, or tribe? In Samuel Coleridge's poem, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, what bird was hung around the mariner's neck? Was it a crow, seagull, pelican, albatross?
Let's see. I'm gonna go with C.
What'd you say? Oh, what, pelican?
The third one. Yep.
The third one, that's pelican. Okay, you went with pelican. Let's see if you're correct.
Okay.
So, you are wrong. Zero for one. It says,
right.
The Rime of the Ancient Mariner by Samuel Taylor Coleridge is a poem that explores themes of guilt, redemption, and the supernatural of salvation. When the mariner shoots the bird with his crossbow, he unwittingly burst upon himself and his crew. He was hung on his realizing his becoming a burden that tormented him on his solitary journey. This act catalyzes the mariner's profound spiritual transformation as he grapples with amid the vastness of the sea. Okay. And here's the second one.
Let's go. Let's go.
Okay. Russian Caesar Peter the Great once taxed which of the following? Russian Caesar Peter the Great once taxed which of the following? Beards, singing, nose picking, excessive sneezing. Caesar Peter the Great once taxed which following? Beard, singing, nose picking, excessive sneezing.
I'm going to say excessive sneezing.
You said what?
Excessive sneezing.
That's the answer, excessive sneezing?
Okay. Did you say text?
Give me your answer. And it says, Richard says that Peter was known for sweeping reforms and modernization. That was in the late 17th and early 18th century. Implemented various unconventional policies country into the modern era. One of the particular initiatives was his taxation on beards in a bid to Europeanize Russian society and promote a more Christian appearance. Peter leveled taxes on their beards. Peter's beard tax of 1998 underscored his determination to propel Russia into the modern age. So you there to do more.
Right, let's
that
go.
Is crazy
let's go.
To think.
Yeah. Let's go.
Here's the third one. Let's see. This one, right? What is the term for a police officer as popularized by CB radio jargon? What is the term for a police officer as popularized by CB radio jargon? Is it badger, smoky, bird dog, rubber dog? What is the term for a police officer as popularized by CB radio jargon? Badger, Smokey, Big Dog, or Rubber Duck?
Smokey.
You going with Smokey?
Yeah.
You are correct. CB radio language is a specialized form of communication used in trains to interact with fellow truckers while on the road. It is a unique and obstacles faced by truckers within the radio jargon. The term smoke is commonly used to refer to police officers, troopers, commonly to have originated from the movie Smokey and the Bandit, where the main character was a trucker chased by a state trooper. So you're 1-2. Let's get to the next one. 1-2. This one. What name of the dog? What is the name of the dog on the iconic Cracker Jack box? Is Lucky, Buster, Duke, Bingo? What is the name of the dog on the iconic Cracker Jack box? Is it Lucky, Buster, Duke, Bingo? All right. two for two or three. Nope. You are one for three. It's Matt Taylor, Jack, Companion Bingo, Captivated Generation Reality. Bingo was straight name in 2017 had been adopted by Henry Epstein, the master behind the innovative cat power fresh. Epstein had insisted they include dog on the box as a 1-3. Here's the fifth question. Who was Japan's supreme military World War II? Who was Japan's supreme military leader during World War II? The Ito Hirobumi, Shinzo Abe, Fumio Kishida, Tojo Hideki. Who was Japan's supreme military leader during World War II? Is it Hirobumi, Abe, Fumio Kishida, Tojo Hideki?
Let's go.
What's the answer?
The third one.
So you're going with Fumio Kishida. You're going with Kishida. You won for four.
Damn.
It says, he might not be as well known as Mussolini or Hitler, tenure as prime minister was marked by his leadership style and his efforts made dominance. He played a significant role in leading the country by spreading and by spreading on Pearl Harbor and the 1941 following nations and the two allied hours, he was arrested, subsequently executed for war committed during his time in office.
What's up?
Hey, again, it's coming. Okay, according to the world happened issued by Gallup, what is the world's happiest country? Is it Ireland, Finland, Switzerland, New Zealand? According to the World Happiness Report of 2024 issued by Gallup, what is the world's happiest country? Is it Ireland, Finland, Switzerland, New Zealand?
Switzerland.
You going with Switzerland? Okay. Mm-hmm. correct answer is spinning. It is spinning. It says, if you're happy and you know it, move to Finland. Once again.
B. So B.
You're 1 for 5. You're 1 for 5.
God damn.
Let's get to the next one. First, alphabetically, Nevada, Delaware, South Dakota, Vermont. Where its capital come first, alphabetically? Nevada, Delaware, South Dakota, Vermont. What's your answer? Which state capital comes first alphabetically? Is it Nevada, Delaware, South Dakota, Vermont?
South Dakota.
And the answer is okay, it says here, only capitals like the state capital alphabetical order cards in the cap of Nevada. Alphabetically, Carson City proceeds the capital of Delaware. Pierre, the capital of South Dakota. Montpelier, the capital of Vermont. Carson City is named after frontiersman and explorer who gained fame for his adventures in the American West during the 19th century. The city has served as a state capital since the state's inception in 18 now. Number 6. Here we go. Let's do one more. Let's see here. Which of the following has part of the logo for Hallmark cards since 1949? Star, the cloak, heart, the crown. Which of the following has been part of the logo for Hallmark cards since 1949? Is it the star, the cloak, heart, crown? I know the answer. What is your answer? What's your answer, Six?
V.
So you go on the second one, clover.
Yep.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Six for this week's trivia, Six is because Hart, I'm told you the answer was around. Hallmark's logo, the crown. And this is what it says. Hallmark was made by greeting cards in the world. It was founded by George Clyde Hall, who was selling greeting cards alongside Hall Brothers. So George and man, I say it's wrong that they call him his brothers, Paul Brothers, or Mark. In 1952, the company had a new emblematic logo featuring the word Hallmark scripted in a handwritten file adorned with a 5-point crown and creates that kind of crown to reveal the quality of the entry. So you're one for
damn.
Let's see if you can leave out of the one spot. Okay. Which Greek letter is used to denote a change of any quantity in math and science? Is it beta, gamma, delta, omega? Which Greek letter is used to denote a change in any quantity in math and science? Is it beta, gamma, delta, omega? Answer. Going with gamma.
Yep.
Let's see if you get out of the hole. The correct answer is you're 1 for 8 now.
Yeah. Wow.
It says as mathematicians encounter a need for symbols to denote the emerging concepts of numbers, functioning sets, and because most have an understanding of Greek, the letters of the ancient world were that emerged as a significant tool in and science. The delta represents the difference between two values or as the magnitude of change within a range. So the answer was delta. Let's go one by the hole, but it's stuck at one. We'll do one more essay on the term thirty years before its invention. Which writer coined the term atomic bomb approximately 30 years before its invention? Was it Aldous Huxley, Mark Twain, Charles Dickens, H.G. Wells? Which writer coined the term atomic bomb approximately 30 years before its invention? Aldous Huxley, Mark Twain, Charles Dickens, H.G. Wells. What's your answer?
B.
You going with Mark Twain?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't think ten, but you're one. Woo! You still at one.
Mm-hmm.
One. It is the atomic bomb was one of the defining inventions of the 20th century. And what's truly remarkable was how science fiction luminary H.G. Wells foretold its creation nearly three decades prior to its actual fruition. Written in 1933, 30 years before the onset of the Manhattan Project, Wells' prophetic work, The World Set Free, cities around the world devastated, reassociated with atomic bombs, but their lasting radiation as well. For this world, I don't know. Wow. Next week, we will have more chat. That's the figure right or wrong. We don't know what the questions are going to be until I open the trivia and read it. He doesn't know, so I mean, he's an educated guest. And as you see tonight, he'll have one that's right. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm sure if more people join us, we'll get more than just six trivia, so we can get other people's answers. Yeah. So, it's almost that time is by, but you know, we'll be next Tuesday with Great Sixth Road. We appreciate you as always for joining us for the show. So, a few weeks back, the segment Dita's Kitchen, and I said to the people, if you like the segment, let us know. Well, I have a response about it. I'm going to give it Dita's Kitchen before we get out of here. So, this is one because this is for people who like chili. And for people who like chili, if you like chili, you don't always have to use the same beans. People make chili. They use the red kidney beans, or they might use black beans, which I would prefer. Well, last night, I made chili. My six bean chili, right? And I use six different beans to make chili. And you can do different beans, and they always have to be the same beans. I know you want to follow the tradition of what chili is made with beans, because you can make chili without beans and chili with beans. And when it's made with beans, it's always red kidney beans. So I use one can of red beans, one can of black beans, one can of cannellini beans, one can of pinto beans, one can of Roman beans, one can of pink beans. They're a little pink beans, lighter than the beans, but basically the same, just a lighter than the kidney beans, so they call it green. And I use one can of sweet golden corn. And we don't eat beef in the house like that, so I use ground turkey instead of ground beef. If you're a person who doesn't eat beef, then you can use ground turkey or ground chicken. It's still chili. No matter what meat you put in, it's still chili. And basic, you know, your basic seasonings you put in there: black pepper, onion powder, garlic powder, chili powder, But I use adobo, and I use bouillon. I use Norse tomato bouillon. And what I do is, because they, when you read recipe, it tells you to run beans, and then put them in the pot. All I do is just pour the juice off, pour some of the juice off of one can of beans. I pour that into the pot, and then the rest of it, I pour the juice off, and then put the beans in the pot. And then towards the end, when the tea is ready, that it's just officially ready, the corn. I don't like to add corn at the time I add beans, because it takes long for the corn to heat up. And if you're using fresh beans, if you're a person who likes fresh beans, say, or one kind of bean, if you like fresh beans, say, then just, like, you can use the kidney beans or the beans or beans you want to use if fresh beans. But if you're going to use canned, I usually add chickpea, but being that my nephew don't like chickpea, I didn't add it to the chili. So I used to do, instead of the cannellini bean, I used to do the chickpea. And that he don't like chickpea, I don't put the chickpea anymore, but use chickpea and their chili. You know, chickpea is technically not a bean, but still, you can use chili. And put what season you like, make it flavorful. I usually put a can, I put some tomato paste in there. Not the whole can, put like maybe about half a can of tomato paste, you know, give it that flavor. Like I said, the Norse tomato bouillon with the seasonings that I, you know, the chili powder, onion powder, garlic powder, black pepper, adobo. I don't use salt because the bouillon has salt in it. And being that I didn't rinse the beans, have salt. And sometimes when you add salt, it can make the dish salty and you won't be able to eat it. And I think, I forgot what the trick was to do if you make that mistake and make it salty. I don't know if it was, I think it was to add a piece of bread or something. And then instead of, you don't always have to eat white rice. So you can use yellow rice. If you use yellow rice for your chili, you can use rice. I use brown rice. Like I said, you don't have to eat white rice. You can use whatever rice you like to eat. Jasmine, basmati. If you like those rices, you can use that. If you don't eat rice, you can use quinoa, or you can use cauliflower rice, broccoli rice. You can use it as your rice if you don't eat white rice. So that is a tip for y'all in this kitchen, and it's time for us to say goodbye. We appreciate you as always for rocking with us here on Roll the Star Radio, Six Sides Radio. Next after you, the Indie Experience, where you get nothing but the best in indie music. Now, last night, some gospel. Don't know how long music tonight. Just know it's going to be some great music. And the next show, that's at 11 p.m. And the next show on Six Guys Radio is at 4 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time. You got the Children's Bible Study. And then at 7 p.m. is Bible Study. 90. And the number for the Adult Bible Study is 424-249-619. And the number for the Kids Bible Study is 515. What's the rest of the number, 6? To the Kids Bible Study, it's 515-605-9340. Okay, and if you're interested, you call that number, and you can tune into the show by phone, or you can tune in through your computer or your phone by going to Six Size Radio, .com/Six Size Radio. You can Google Six Eyes Radio, and it will come up. If you Google it, the show will come up. And you'll be able to tune into your phone, computer. Yep. We will see you at the next show. We're going to say peace, one love. Bye now, everybody.